Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. And let these words be yours and bless. Amen. Happy Easter. Day early, but we do this all the time at Christmas. But Happy Easter. If there's any one day that can really mess up our sense of certainty, it should be this one. Here it is, the pivotal moment of all time. The foundation of all that we trust and believe. The resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's the fundamental story of all Christian faith. And it should change everything. Blow the doors off of every religious and logical notion ever conceived that Christ has been raised from the dead. It comes in the last chapter of the gospel, but it is hardly the ending, especially in Mark. I love the ending in Mark's gospel. Did you catch that? Did you notice how it ends? It doesn't, at least not in a way that makes any sense. The final line is, "And the women said nothing to anyone, for they were very afraid." But that brings a very daunting question. If they didn't say a word, why are we here? If terror and amazement kept them silent, how did the news that he is risen ever get out? And grammatically, it's even worse, I should tell you, because if you look at the Greek language, it ends with that word for, gar. And so it's like the women didn't say anything for, and then they try to make it make sense. But the sentence doesn't even end. It's got dot, dot, dot written all over it. To be continued. It's actually one of the great mysteries in all the Bible is this non-ending Mark's gospel. And I think Mark did it deliberately to make the reader fill in the blanks, write his or her own ending to the story. And in fact, two early readers actually did this. If you turn to your Bible sometime and look at the end of Mark, there's a shorter ending that's tacked on and a longer ending that's tacked on because people knew it didn't end that way. But I don't think that's what Mark meant by writing the ending. At least not better than that. You're supposed to write the ending of the gospel with you in it. He is not here. He is risen. That's important news, and we know that it did get out, or we wouldn't be here. The crucial element is not what these three women did or did not do that time, but what that message does to you. You write the ending. How does "he has been raised" play in your lives? That's what Easter's about. It's a sequel, and the next installment is up to you. But that might be the most unsettling part of it all. Remember the cartoon, the Coyote and the Roadrunner? That moment where they're zipping down an animated blur down this highway in some desert, and then for some reason or another, the coyote ends up going off a cliff. And you see him, he keeps running, and then he stops, slows down, takes a couple of tentative steps in midair. You know what I'm talking about? That's the moment that Easter brings us to. Right before he holds up that "help me" sign and then plummets into a tiny puff at the bottom of the canyon. That's where God would have us be at this moment, on this day. Jesus, dead and buried, is now alive and on the move. That wasn't supposed to happen. He is risen. Hallelujah. Everything we thought, all of our assumptions, everything we imagined about life and death, about success and failure, of what's fair and how to make it in the world, all of that is now up for grabs. What we trust and rely on, the things we're absolutely positive about, are as sure and as lasting as those steps the coyote takes in midair. but knowing and trusting in Christ means that everything's going to be all right. That unlike the coyotes, our help me sign has been answered. It's guaranteed. If we simply believe God can save us and will, He will. And we are to share that news. We get to share that news. We are to rewrite the ending in our own lives with our own lives. But how do we do that? Well, that verges on the edge of sharing a message, of publicizing what we feel, which goes along with advertising and marketing. And so I thought we could learn a lesson from the best and the brightest of that. And I thought about the pinnacle of advertising, Super Bowl commercials. And in fact, I want to share my favorite and most dynamic of the one from the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl car ad. Right?
Or a hilarious beer ad.
Or whatever ad this is.
Whatever.
But it's a Tide ad.
What?
It's a Tide ad.
What makes it a Tide ad?
There are no stains. Look at those clean clothes. What else would this be an ad for?
Diamonds?
A gift that lasts for a lifetime.
It's time for a cold refresh.
Tide ad.
Fall into the sleep of
No. Tide ad. Extreme.
Tide.
Meet the all-new.
No, it's a Tide ad. Tide.
So, does this make every Super Bowl ad
a Tide ad? I think it does. Watch and see.
Hello, ladies. Is your man the kind of man who would climb the height? I'm in a tight end.
Nice pants.
Get off my horse.
Ta-da.
Beautiful. Like a tight end.
Sarah?
It's a tight end. Sometimes the signs are hard to read. Whenever you see clothes this clean, that's a Tide ad.
Clean clothes may be an indication of a Tide ad. Tide users experience 10 times more cleaning power. Tide is America's number one detergent in America.
You see what they did? They rearranged your mind so that every time you see any other commercial, you're thinking Tide. That's getting money for your $3 million for 30-second spot. Makes you look at every other commercial a little differently. That's what we should do with the wonderful news of God's raising Jesus from the dead. That's how we continue where Mark leaves off so abruptly. Take every situation, every standardized expectation and experience out there, and fill it with Easter joy. Turn it into a commercial for God. That crummy task at work that nobody else wants to do, make it a God ad. A new family moved into that house just down the street, make it a God ad. You learn that someone said something unkind about you behind your back, make it a God ad. Another driver takes that parking spot that you had your eye on. God. A kind word, a shoulder to cry on, a snack, a ride, a hug. All God has. Make people see their normal everyday things in a much different way. Let them see the risen Christ working in you. You know, despite the rising pace of technology that everybody complains about and tries to catch up with these days, basically the world in which we know it, it kind of acts as if it's always sure what's ever going to be possible and what's going to come next. That world which we live in could use a healthy campaign of God has from people blown away by the risen Christ. Overturning all those assumptions that just have to be true, right? That death means life is over. That this world and all we know it is all there is. That we're left on our own. No God, no heaven, no forgiveness of sins. That what we hardly dare hope for, what isn't supposed to happen, what we really want but don't deserve, did, does, and will do. Be a God at it. The bottom line is, we really don't write the ending at all. That ending has already been written for all of us once and for all. We just get to share it. And Jesus gives us the perfect way to start. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, though they die, yet shall they live. Meaning, God has taken care of the biggest problem we face, our own mortality. Don't you think he can handle all those other little problems that we have? Whatever we need, whatever we face, we are not alone. We cannot fail. So, make everything you do, all that you are, a God act. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
May your deeds show that. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting.